Welcome back to the Tank Me Later podcast. I'm your host, Noah Rubin. This is episode 79. And just as a reminder, we are part of the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network in partnership with Old Man Squad. We're going to take a look at five players that are not rookies and how we should value them in dynasty leagues based off their start to this season. So let's go ahead and get into it. And just as a quick reminder, before I get started talking about these five players, you can find all my work and any other posts I make on Twitter at NoahRubin22. As I start talking about this first guy, which shouldn't be a surprise to anybody that I like him, and I guess it's just kind of the general stance of Fantasy Basketball International to love this guy, and that's Dyson Daniels. So as a quick little plug here, I also write about fantasy basketball for NBC Sports /RotoWorld. I did an in-depth dive into Dyson Daniels last week and his start to the season. We were very high on him before the year, and he has been excellent to start this season. And there's still plenty of room for growth. So if you want to see that full article, you can check that out at NBCSports.com, going to the RotoWorld page, the fantasy basketball page, and it should be in there. And then another guy that we'll talk about here in a minute, I'll have a column coming out in a similar style tomorrow. So that's pretty exciting as well. And hopefully people like that kind of content because it's going to be coming. But we'll go ahead and start talking about Dyson Daniels. So when I wrote this column last week, he was averaging 12.5 points, 4 rebounds, 2.5 assists, 2.2 steals, 0.7 blocks, and 1.3 threes. He's now at 12.8 points, 4.4 rebounds, 2.4 assists, 3.3 steals, 0.8 blocks, 1.1 threes. He literally, since I wrote this column, has 17 total steals in three games. Otherworldly numbers. And then on top of just getting the steals, he's also getting just a ton of deflections as well. So I was trying to pull up this number here. This is a tweet from The Lead that he has, 30 steals this season. If that number lines up, then that number lines up. And then they have, which the next two, and I guess the league leaders, is Jalen Williams and Jason Tatum, who each have 18. And then as far as deflections, and keep in mind, this is in nine games. He has 66 deflections. Next is Nikola Jokic with 40, and then Alex Caruso with 35. So he's been unreal on the defensive end, which, not necessarily surprising if you had been keeping up with him in limited fashion when he was with the Pelicans. And he's thrived in a larger role. The offensive side of the ball is where things haven't been quite as good. Room for improvement is very fair to say. So these are his numbers so far this year, just the basic ones. But he hasn't shot the ball that well. So 27.8% from three, not that he was supposed to come in and be this elite shooter. He shot 31% each of his first 2 years from three. He just really hasn't hit many shots despite shooting most of his shots as pretty wide open ones. These are numbers from when I wrote this column, so these aren't updated, but he was 4 of 15 on catch and shoot threes and 4 of 8 on pull-up threes at the time. So kind of, pretty different from what you typically expect, especially from a guy that isn't not bad with the ball in his hands, but not exactly a shot creator, what we would say is a shot creator. But I think the looks that he's getting are good looks, and having Trae Young and Jalen Johnson like find him obviously makes things easier. I expect not that he'll start shooting 40% from three, but he'll up that percentage a little bit. It won't happen in their next game going up against Boston. Trae Young is dealing with Achilles tendonitis. which kind of stinks. It's something to keep an eye on. Keaton Wallace, I imagine, will start in his place. Means more playmaking opportunities for Dyson Daniels, Jalen Johnson. So we'll see if maybe Dyson Daniels does something as a playmaker. Could be kind of fun to see what he does, having the ball in his hands a little bit more. So something to keep an eye on there. Then obviously the defense is otherworldly. There's no other real way to put it. Definitely will be in contention to make an all defensive team. Especially if he keeps up at this rate. I'm not expecting him to, I mean, like I said, 17 steals over the last three games, 5.7 steals per game. Not expecting that, but expecting him to continue to wreak havoc on the defensive end. He's been the best defender that I can remember for the Hawks in at least a very long time. As far as, I guess, especially with the steals and the, I guess, impact in the box score as well. I mean, DeJounte Murray was very good at getting steals, but you can see Dyson as more of an impactful defender as well. I think Quinn Snyder was talking about it the other day, where it's like most of the time when you have guys getting steal numbers like this, it's because they're gambling and they're getting themselves out of position. It's like, great, the steals look nice and the turnovers, you know, that helps, but you're sacrificing, you know, defensive positioning and allowing the offense to get better looks. But Dyson doesn't do that. So it's best of both worlds. He has been a very good DeJounte Murray replacement, considering he came back with, I think it was 2 first round picks and Larry Nance, who's also actually been pretty important to the Hawks this year. So yeah, we'll move on to number 2 on this list, which is Nuggets guard. Hold on. We'll see if I can pull this up. I mean, little spoiler alert there, Nuggets guard. Not talking about Jamal Murray. We're talking about Christian Brown. I will be having a column come out on him tomorrow, over at Roto World, kind of similar style to my Dyson Daniels column, just kind of talking about what he's done this year, moving into a starting role in year 3. It's actually very similar, their situations, obviously not the same exact circumstances because Dyson changed teams, but Christian Brown this year, averaging 16.3 points, 5.4 rebounds, 1.6 assists, 0.9 steals, 0.9 blocks, 1.7 threes, shooting 55.2% from the floor, 81.1% from the line, and 50% from three. So he's, you know, his minutes have jumped up by 15. He's more than doubled his points from last year, doubled his threes, which went from 0.8 to 1.7. So, like, not, you know, dramatically impactful change, but field goal percentage is up from 46 to 55.2 in an extra 4.5 shots per game. You don't see that often. The free throw percentage up from 69.4 on 1.6 attempts to 81.1 on 3.7 attempts, and the 3-point attempts up from 2 to 3.4, and he's made 50% of them so far. So let's talk about what's sustainable here versus what isn't sustainable. And I think the main thing that sticks out to me is 50% from three. As a guy that shot 38% last year, I think it's not like he's, I don't know, this awful shooter that's having this really hot start where it's like, yeah, regression's 100% coming. I just don't see him as a 50% three-point shooter, which is, I think, very fair, and it's not a knock on him. But watching through some of his shot attempts today, he gets such open looks. It's a combination of him knowing how to move without the ball and playing alongside Jokic. So I think that was kind of heading into this season. I didn't really think, oh, like, this guy's this dynasty buy low that you have to get in on now because he's about to turn into a superstar or a fantasy star. But I was like, oh, okay. Like, I think he's going to have a good year in redraft leagues. This guy had taken the later rounds. But I think at this point, we have to be asking ourselves, okay, like, how do we value him in dynasty leagues? Because he's, I'd say, solidified his spot as the starting shooting guard. I mean, obviously things can change, but I feel like unless he just drops off a cliff production-wise, like, it's his job to lose. He's been a very good defender. The steals aren't and blocks aren't, like, great, but almost one of each per game. Like, that plays very well. In 9 cat leagues, pretty well-rounded stats. Said the assists aren't great, but I think what allows him to thrive in this situation is the fact that he just doesn't have the ball in his hands. Like, for the most part, he'll do a little bit of secondary playmaking. And, you know, in transition, he has no problem going coast to coast. But a lot of the times he's moving without the ball. He cuts incredibly well. So just a couple numbers that, again, will be featured in the column tomorrow. He's in the 83rd percentile in spot up situations like catch and shoots, 75th percentile in transition. He's in the 91st percentile on cuts, cutting the basket, 1.6 points per possession when cutting. Like, that is a combination of him knowing where to be and playing alongside Jokic. Like, that is, can't be understated, that the reason that Christian Brown, that we're even talking about him, one, they like, he's playing as well as he is, and two, that it's like, we have to kind of consider, like, hey, how do we value this guy in dynasty leagues? You know, how high should we value him? How high should we rank him? It's because he's playing with Jokic. If Jokic wasn't there, he would not be playing as well. And that's totally fine. You know, people talk about Draymond Green being in Golden State and saying, had he got drafted to 29 other teams, even not saying he would have been this bust, but it was like him and Clay getting drafted there in Golden State, play alongside Steph, was like the perfect situation that, I guess, maximize their talents, and that's why they're going to be Hall of Famers. It's not because they're not good enough to, but I think that there's a lot of guys that may have that talent that land in situations where they're not able to thrive and become the player that we know that they're able to be, and that prevents them from having a really good career. Christian Brown is in a great situation, and he fits well alongside Jokic, so it's why this season has gone so well. So it's not a knock on anybody. It's not. It's just the way things are. I mean, obviously there's sometimes where players get drafted at the right situation and then they're the reason it doesn't work out. But this is a situation, maybe not to the extent of Golden State, but that being the best example of like players getting drafted to a certain situation maximizes their talent. That's what's going on here with Christian Brown. He shoots on shots less than 5 feet. So like right at the basket, 6 attempts per game, and he shoots, and he's making 67% of those. There's one guard in the league that shoots a higher percentage with at least 6 attempts per game, basically at the basket, and that's SGA. Well regarded as one of the best finishers if like in the NBA today. And again, a lot of that isn't him creating his own shot on drives to the basket. It's cutting to the basket. It's transition. And then another stat that's fun, there's 16 players in the NBA currently averaging at least 5.4 rebounds, 0.9 steals, and 0.9 blocks. 3 of those players are guards. It's SGA, James Harden, and Christian Brown. So there you have it. He's been incredibly impressive so far. Those were the two main guys I wanted to highlight since I've done more deep dives into them and into their season so far. It's probably a better way to say it. And now we'll talk about 3 other guys that, you know, I won't have quite as in-depth of an analysis on, but we'll still take a look at, because there's still some stuff to look at. The next one we'll look at is Grady Dick, who I considered writing about for this next column instead of Christian Brown, but he's cool off a tad the last couple games, so I opted to talk about Christian Brown. But Grady Dick in year 2. Is averaging 19 points, 2.4 rebounds, 2.3 assists, 1.1 steals, half a block, 2.5 threes, shooting 46% from the floor, 89% from the free throw line. I think there was a lot of questions about him. You know, struggled in summer league, which I think he's not the type of player that you're going to stick on a summer league team, especially one like they had where they had a lot of guys that weren't, I guess, future. You know, guys that were playing to make the roster that year, there wasn't many of them on that summer league team. So he struggled. He's not the type of guy that you're going to stick on a team of, I guess, where he's the main guy and is really the main guy that's playing at that level, that is kind of the centerpiece. And he's just going to go out there and dominate, especially coming off just 1 year at Kansas. So, and then he was okay as a rookie. He wasn't great. He had some moments, especially later in the year when the team kind of pulled the plug on the season. And then early this year, Emmanuel Quickley's out, Scotty Barnes is out, but RJ Barrett's been there. He's been out a little bit, but Grady Dick has been starting since day one. He had a stretch where he had at least 20 points in, I think it looks like 5 out of 6 games. But what was impressive to me, because like, we know he can shoot, we know he can score. He had some good steals numbers in those games. So he went 3-1-2-3 with steals in a 4-game stretch while scoring at least 20 in all of those. So not a guy that we're going to, you know, count on for a ton of defensive production. Like, his moneymakers are going to be the points, the threes, the free throws, not turning the ball over because he doesn't have it a ton. But the assist numbers have been, you know, 2.3 per game. It's not anything that you're like, oh, this is great, it's going to really help me, but could be worse. But if he can stay at around a steal per game, that'll make him a lot more valuable in category leagues. The last 3 games, he's had 1 steal total, so not ideal. We'll see if he can get back on track against the Bucks on Tuesday. But again, most of this is going to be points and threes. I think when this team is healthy, a lineup of Quickly, Grady, RJ Barrett, Scotty Barnes, Jakob Poeltl, like, that's a competitive lineup. Now, obviously, it's not a contending lineup, and their priority is, you know, more long term than short term. But that's not a bad thing for fantasy because, I mean, a lot of shots and a lot of minutes for Grady Dick. So pretty happy with how he started this season. I don't think there's really much more we could say at this point, because he's been kind of what we expected, maybe a little bit here and there that maybe we didn't expect. I don't think that he's going to, I guess, be a significantly better scorer than this. I mean, 19 points per game. I think that'll kind of decrease as the season goes on, maybe closer to like 17 points per game. And maybe at some point of his career, he can get over that, over 20 per game. But I don't expect him to just like see what he's doing now, and then over the next couple of years, like, continue to just grow into like the 25 point per game score, or to be considerably better in any of the other categories. And as of right now, he's 77th on Basketball Monster. Like, that's really, really good, especially a guy that was drafted late lottery. Wasn't a considered like a high value dynasty player after like in his draft class, but he's been pretty good. So shout out to Grady Dick. All right, next one we got here, more of an under the radar guy, a former second rounder. We have Brandon Boston Jr., who's been filling in for the very depleted Pelicans rotation. He's still starting again tonight. Actually, since we're doing this live, let me pull up and see exactly how he's doing right now. He is 0 for 1 shooting with 2 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 fouls in 9 minutes. Still early in the second quarter. Trey Murphy, it's his first game back. But Brandon Boston's still starting. Is Jeremiah Robinson Earl that got pushed to the bench? They're saying Zion's going to be out at least 4 to 6 weeks. Irv Jones is out. CJ McCollum's out. DeJounte Murray's out. So, like, yeah, there's a lot of minutes for a lot of guys at this point. Brandon Boston has been one of them heading into this game. He had scored at least 14 in 5 straight, and he started their last 3, averaged 20 points, 2 threes, 4 assists in those games. 1.3 steals as well. So, I mean, I remember I'm mixing him up with Amani Bates, but he was a highly regarded scoring option. I think he was, because he went to Norcross in Georgia at first, then transferred to Sierra Canyon. And then I can't remember if it was 1 or 2 years at Kentucky. I feel like he was supposed to come out after 1 year, but then ended up staying a second one. Now I want to check that while I'm talking about him. But a guy that was seen as like a professional scorer, and that's basically what he was going to do. And that's what he's shown us the last couple of games. Let me see. Now this is bothering me. No, just 1 year of college. Okay, my bad. Maybe there's people saying that he should have stayed for a second one because his first year went significantly worse than I think most of us were expecting it to. But the added in the steals, the rebounds, assists, like, those are things that I would never expect from him. So it's been good to see that, making over 50% of his shots. He's a top 100 player in nine cat right now on Basketball Monster. And I think my big overarching message here is to sell high. He's 23 years old. I think this stretch has allowed him to prove, like, hey, I think I'm a rotation player in this league. If you need an electric bench scorer, come give me a contract. And I think that's, you know, totally fine. And he'll have some big games when he's, and this is might be what he does, is he fills in for a few games while the starters are hurt and he has some big scoring nights and everybody's like, oh, like, why is he not starting somewhere? Maybe he earns a big contract somewhere if he continues to play well this year, but I'm not buying the long-term, you know, I mean, he's averaging 12 points, 13 points a game this season. Like, I think that's not impossible if he's given the minutes. So, you know, if he ends up on a tanking team instead of, well, I mean, Pelicans could end up being a tanking team if they continue to get hurt this year, but, you know, a bunch of different situations and scenarios can change how a player produces in the short term. But I think long term, like, I'm not banking on any team saying, okay, yeah, Brandon Barson Jr. is going to be our starting shooting guard or small forward as we try and compete for a championship. So he may be able to find minutes here and there in different situations and different places. But I would say, like, try and sell somebody in your league on, hey, this 23-year-old is really stepping up, like, former five-star prospect, played at Kentucky, like, he slipped in the draft because he had a bad college year, but he's really, really good. I would, you know, and then try and sell high, like, pitch it like that. He's a very talented scorer. And if, you know, I mean, hopefully he doesn't have just this absolute terrible game. Because right now I think he's still scoreless. When I said 0 of 1, yeah, 0 of 1 scoreless. So, I mean, Brandon Ingram's taken 14 shots already. Goodness gracious. So, yeah, hopefully he'll end up having a pretty good game here and then you're able to sell high. But definitely don't bank on Brandon Boston Jr. as a long-term, you know, save the franchise option here. All right, we're going to move on to the last guy. And most of this, I guess, Monday episode, because I'm going to try and do Mondays is non-rookies, Fridays is rookies. Most of it will be more under the radar guys or, you know, young up and coming guys, not stars, but I'm going to try and do one per episode. So we're going to talk about Cade Cunningham. There's a lot of different guys I could choose as like a star that's starting to have a breakout season, but I'd like to talk about Cade Cunningham because I really like him. You know, if we hide the 4.7 turnovers per game, averaging 23.1 points, 7.3 rebounds, 8.3 assists, half a steal, 0.8 blocks, 1.9 threes, shooting 47% from the floor, 79% from the free throw line. So, you know, points, rebounds, assists are career highs. The free throw percentage is significantly worse than his typical numbers. So he shot 87% last year on 4.4 attempts. He's getting 3.8 attempts this year, 79%. So I assume that gets up over 80 in like long term. I'm not expecting him to continue to be a 79% shooter, like closer to 85. Even if he's had a bad start to the year and it just ends up being a bad free throw season, like, not too worried. The main concern is the turnovers because they're not good. But I think with a lot of high usage guards, very talented guards, like, that happens. It comes with the territory. So it's not super surprising. But the field goal percentage is huge to me because he shot 45% last year. And then each of his first year, he was closer to 41, 42%. So seeing Cade, you know, get to more of a normal field goal percentage for a guard, that's what we need. Like, we don't need, just because he's a bigger guard, for him to shoot 52% from the floor. Like, 47, 48% is ideal, perfectly fine. Would love to see him shoot more threes, like 5.5 per game, making 1.9. I think he's a very good shooter. I mean, 35% is an elite number, but I would like to see him get a few more attempts per game. And I think that if the coaches agree and make him shoot more threes, then we'll see more makes there. But Last game he had 26-8-9. Before that, he had three straight triple doubles. Like, he's been very good this year, but I think he's really starting to figure out how to play point guard in the NBA, which is very fun to see. You know, I had him as a top 10 dynasty prospect for a while, and I think last 2 years have just like slowly bumped him down by like a slot or two without fully giving up. Because I think even if I really like a guy, you seem to be honest with evaluations in the sense that it's not all projection and it's also what they're doing. And if you're playing dynasty, you're trying to win. If the way you value players in dynasty is I value them or rank them by how much they'll help me win the next five championships. Or if you extend that number, say the next 10 championships, like Cade's obviously among the elite, but at times last year, he wasn't necessarily helping you win the next year. And it was easy to see that, oh, okay, like Detroit, you know, they have been very bad. Like, is this enough for them to turn it around by next year? Like, or is it going to be 2 years of, oh, Cade's dealing with a minor injury, but we're kind of tanking now. Like, let's take him out. So I think that's a reason to knock him down, but it's not anymore because he's been fantastic. I'm just going to utilize Basketball Monsters punt tool real quick and just see where he would be ranked if we're punting turnovers. He'd be 25th with a turnover, just a simple turnover. So in 8 cat leagues, 25th. So, yeah, I think Cade should be considered at least a borderline top 10 player in dynasty leagues and as far as how we should value him. Still incredibly young, incredibly bright future. Hopefully Detroit can figure it out enough that they'll be good enough or close enough, I guess, to the playoff race and standings that Cade can be considered for the All-Star game this year. Because I think as long as they're not just abysmal again, 30, 40 games in, not early on, that Cade should be playing his first All-Star game. So that's kind of fun to see. All right. That's going to do it for this episode of the Tank Me Later podcast. I'm just going to throw up Couchhead's comments in here. This show would have been so much more fun with basketball fun, not ruined by the Chet news. Yeah, Chet out. I think it's a reevaluation in 8 to 10 weeks, and then it might be longer than that. So that stinks. But what is fun, because they don't have Isaiah Hartenstein or, the other Jalen Williams, number two, Jay Will, if you will. Oh my goodness. They're starting all guards. So it's SGA, Isaiah Joe, Aaron Wiggins, Lou Dort, Jalen Williams, J Dub. So that's a lot of fun. I'm excited to tune in and see on that. And then bringing back a Dyson Daniels comment. I love Daniels. I'd probably consider him in the first round of Dynasty Draft today. Man, am I scared the Hawks will try to oh, man, I think you're trying to up his value there so that you can get Lowry from me in Rhett's round ball rhetoric league. But I respect it. It's not going to work, but I respect it. But I'm not worried about Bogdan or DeAndre Hunter cutting into his minutes. He was a starter when everyone was healthy at the beginning. Though I don't blame you for not trusting the Hawks as like the coaching staff or front office because, yeah, I don't think they've necessarily earned it. But that's going to do it for this episode of the Tank Me Later podcast. As I said, you can follow me at NoUrban22. That's going to do it for this episode. I will talk to you guys again on Friday where we can talk about some rookies.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at fbibasketball.com.